In November 1975, a young forestry worker vanished under chilling circumstances after he and his colleagues witnessed an ominous glow emanating from the woods. They approached only to encounter a bizarre, hovering craft. As the young man moved closer, a blinding light suddenly enveloped him before he was violently thrown to the ground. His terrified co-workers fled, believing him to be dead. But when they returned to retrieve the body, he was nowhere to be found. For 5 harrowing days, a search ensued with no signs of the man. Then, just as abruptly as he disappeared, he reappeared, disoriented and with a tale that defied belief. He described being aboard an alien craft, subjected to examinations by non-human entities in an ordeal that tested the limits of human comprehension. His story, corroborated by those who were with him on the fateful evening, remains one of the most compelling accounts of an alleged extraterrestrial encounter. This is the story of Travis Walton. This is the Dark History Project. Before we continue, please take a moment to subscribe and hit that like button. Thank you. On the evening of November 5th, 1975, in the dense pine forests of northeastern Arizona, a logging crew was finishing their day's work in the Apache Sitgreaves National Forests. Travis Walton, a young and energetic team member, was with 6 other loggers heading home in a truck driven by Mike Rogers, the crew's leader and Walton's best friend. The workday had been uneventful, but later that night, their journey home was about to become anything but ordinary. As they navigated the rough forest roads, the men noticed a glimmering light filtering through the tree line. Curiosity turned to astonishment when the source revealed itself as a brilliantly lit, saucer-shaped object hovering silently just above the ground. It was massive, approximately 20 feet in diameter, glowing with a pulsating light that illuminated the surrounding forest in an eerie glow. Travis, driven by a mix of awe and recklessness, insisted on leaving the truck to get a closer look, despite the protests of his companions. He advanced toward the object, seemingly transfixed by its otherworldly presence. As he moved closer, the air around the craft vibrated with a strange electrical charge that made the crew's skin crawl from inside the truck. The men watched, paralyzed in fear, as Travis stood beneath the hovering disc. Suddenly, a beam of brilliant blue-green light shot down from the center of the UFO, striking Travis square in the chest and throwing him to the ground, as if he had been hit by a forceful blow. The remaining crew members were screaming for him to get away, but it was too late. In a panic, the rest of the crew fled, fearing for their own safety, leaving Travis behind. Mike Rogers, after driving a short distance, managed to regain his composure and decided that they could not leave Walton alone there. However, when they returned to the site, both Travis and the UFO were gone. Only the cool night air and the silent forest remained. This abrupt disappearance sparked a massive manhunt. The sheriff's department was notified, and suspicion initially fell on the logging crew, who were believed to have possibly murdered Walton and concocted the UFO story as a cover. Over the following days, search parties combed the area, dogs were brought in, and the local and national media began to swarm over the story, all in search of the missing logger or any clue that might explain his mysterious disappearance. Travis Walton's alleged abduction turned into a sensational case that would mystify the world for decades. In the tense hours and days following Travis Walton's disappearance on November 5, 1975, the small community of Snowflake, Arizona, and its surrounding forests became the center of a bewildering investigation. The crew, still in shock, found themselves thrust under intense scrutiny, both by law enforcement and the public eye. The aftermath of the event unfolded with rapidly escalating tension, intertwining fear, suspicion, and a media circus. Immediately after reporting Travis's disappearance, the crew faced skepticism. The local sheriff, suspecting foul play, subjected Mike Rogers and the rest of the crew to a rigorous interrogation. The idea that Travis had been hit by a beam from a UFO and vanished seemed far-fetched to authorities accustomed to more mundane explanations, like murder or accidental death. The crew members were subjected to polygraph tests conducted by Cy Gilson, a state and federal polygraph examiner. Remarkably, the tests indicated that all but one crew member were truthful in their accounts of seeing a UFO and Travis being struck by a beam of light. The inconclusive tests, plagued by nerves, did not discount the overall veracity of the group's story. With the veracity of the crew's account bolstered by the successful polygraph tests, the search for Travis intensified. Law enforcement, along with a growing number of volunteers, some curious, some genuinely concerned, combed the area where Travis was last seen. This search included both ground teams and helicopters, scouring the rugged terrain of the Apache Sitgreaves National Forests. Despite the extensive search effort, no trace of Travis ever was found, which only deepened the mystery and fueled rampant speculation, both locally and nationwide. It didn't take long for the media to quickly seize the story, with local reporters spiraling into national news coverage. The apparent disappearance of Travis Walton became a sensational headline, attracting UFO enthusiasts, skeptics, and gawkers alike to the small town. This media attention put additional pressure on both the local authorities and the logging crew, who found themselves under a relentless public gaze. During Travis's absence, public opinion was polarized. Some community members supported the loggers, believing their account and fearing for Travis's safety. It about more terrestrial explanations, including the possibility that the disappearance was a stunt or a cover-up for an accident or crime. This atmosphere of doubt and conjecture only thickened the air of mystery surrounding the case. 5 days later, the unexpected happened. Travis Walton reappeared, phoning his family from a payphone near Eber, Arizona, miles from where he had vanished. He was disoriented, wearing the same clothes as when he disappeared, and his return marked the beginning of another chapter in the strange saga, one centered on his claims of time spent aboard an alien spacecraft. This incredible development reignited interest and controversy, ensuring that the story of that November night would continue to be debated for decades. Upon his return, Travis was frail, his eyes haunted by experiences his body could barely endure. What he described next was literally out of this world. His physical state was assessed upon his return, and although he was dehydrated and showed signs of weight loss, there were no signs of physical abuse. His psychological state, however, was deeply affected, bearing signs of trauma from the ordeal. If what he said happened is true, it is just plain terrifying for anyone. We'll go through all the details about what happened to him. After being knocked unconscious, Walton awoke to find himself in a highly unfamiliar environment, initiating an ordeal that lasted approximately 5 days. Initially, he felt like his senses were coming in and out. Upon regaining consciousness, Walton found himself lying on a table in a room that he described as similar to an emergency room, but unlike anything he had ever seen. The room was suffused with a diffuse light, and his first visceral reaction was one of panic and disorientation. Above him, Walton saw three figures that he described as being shorter than the average human, with bald heads and large, luminous brown eyes that seemed to exude an expressionless stare. Their skin appeared smooth and chalky, a stark contrast to their bright orange garments. Now, you might think of this description as the typical gray aliens you see in movies and TV shows, but keep in mind that this was in 1975. The other really famous alien abduction story back then was the one of Betty and Barney Hill, which took place 14 years earlier in 1961. Feeling threatened, Walton managed to get up from the table, grabbed some sort of tool, and was swinging at them, trying to get them to step back, though his movements were hampered by weakness and a throbbing pain in his head and chest. He mentioned he did hit one, and from what he could tell, the being hardly weighed anything. Travis described having some issues breathing, but now that he looks back, he's not sure if it was the atmosphere, or just due to being scared because of the situation that he was in. The beings retreated when he became aggressive, allowing him to wander off the table and stagger into a softly illuminated hallway. As he was exploring the place, the appearance of a human-like figure wearing a tight-fitting blue outfit suddenly appeared before him. Unlike the first beings, this figure had proportional facial features and a reassuring presence. He initially thought this being was a human being. This new being did not communicate verbally, but guided Walton into another room. Here, he encountered more human-like figures who appeared calm and deliberate in their actions. One of these figures placed a clear, mask-like device over Walton's face without explanation. He struggled against the application of the mask, but quickly lost consciousness after it was fitted onto him. His next memory was of waking up, feeling disoriented, on the cold pavement along a highway. Travis Walton's account of his alleged abduction concludes with his mysterious reappearance near Eber, Arizona. This narrative, filled with elements of advanced technology and otherworldly beings, presents a questionable UFO abduction tale that has sparked debate, criticism, and fascination. Whether seen as a genuine encounter or a fabricated story, Walton's detailed description provides a vivid tableau for discussions on extraterrestrial life and human interaction with unknown phenomena. As some of you may already know, the story of Travis Walton was taken to the big screen in a movie called Fire in the Sky. As expected, Hollywood changed some things without reason. For those who haven't seen the movie, it is still a great movie to watch as it gives you a vivid image of what Travis went through. The description of what he witnessed is like watching a horror scene unfold. As we mentioned before, the crew Travis was working with that night faced intense scrutiny. Law enforcement and the public speculated wildly about the veracity of their UFO story. The polygraph tests became a critical piece of evidence supporting their account, although these tests largely indicated that the crew was truthful about the sightings and Travis's abduction, skepticism persisted. The stress from media attention and public doubt straining their personal lives, and in some cases their mental health. Mike Rogers, the crew leader, and Walton's closest ally in particular, found himself at the center of controversy, having to defend his and his crew's accounts against accusations of deceit or fabrication. Now, about his crew. The six members were in their 20s, with the exception of one who was 17 at the time. There was no benefit back then, and even now, from making up a story like this. Imagine being 17. You're just trying to make some money, and all of a sudden you're being accused of murder by the authorities and by your community? The polygraphs are a sensitive subject, but back then they all passed it. And not to mention that according to some of them, not all the crew got along well. So there was really no benefit to coming up with the story. Quite the contrary, most of them have faced ridicule and backlash from their community. As time passed, the public spectacle faded, but the impact on the crew members remained. Some sought privacy, retreating from the public eye, while others engaged with the UFO community. Their experience left an indelible mark, influencing their perspectives and life choices long after the event. For Travis Walton himself, the experience was transformative. He went on to speak extensively about his alleged abduction, participating in UFO conventions, giving interviews, and authoring the book Fire in the Sky, which was later adapted into a 1993 film. This book and film helped to popularize his story, making it one of the most well-known abduction cases in the world. Walton's legacy in UFO culture is significant. His detailed account and the public and legal validation of his crew's polygraph tests have often been cited as some of the strongest evidence in favor of the reality of UFO abductions. Whether believers in extraterrestrial visitation see him as a key witness to an extraordinary truth, or skeptics view his story as a complex psychological phenomenon, Walton's narrative has fueled ongoing debate and interest in the broader context of human encounters with the unknown. The Travis Walton case remains a pivotal chapter in UFO history, reflecting the complex interplay between belief, skepticism, and the human desire to find meaning in the inexplicable. It's a story that continues to provoke thought and investigation into what might lie beyond the known boundaries of our reality. Thank you for being with us for this episode of the Dark History Project. Please help us out by liking this video, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button below. We're available on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. We hope you enjoyed it, and our next episode will come out soon. See you then.